Friends, I invite you to join me in the prayer of confession that you can find in your bulletin. Almighty God, we confess how hard it is to be your people. You've called us to be the church, to continue the mission of Jesus Christ to our lonely and confused world. Yet we acknowledge we are more apathetic than active, isolated than involved, callous than compassionate, obstinate than obedient, legalistic than loving. Gracious God, have mercy on us and forgive our sins. Remove the obstacles preventing us from being your representatives to a broken world. Awaken our hearts to the promised gift of your indwelling spirit. This we pray in Jesus' powerful name. We bring our silent confessions before a listening and loving God. Beloveds, we are promised that as we turn towards God with repentant hearts, we are welcomed with love. Let the arms open embrace of the one we are bold to call Abba Father enfold us as we join our voices in prayer. The God who challenges us is also the God who encourages us. The God who confronts us is also the God who accepts us. Be assured that God is even with us now, accepting, guiding, forgiving, and equipping. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, we follow one who lived with a peace which the world could not deny or destroy, even to the point of death. The peace of Christ passes understanding and is freely shared with Christ's disciples that we might share it with the world. May the peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to greet one another in Christ's peace. Friends, welcome. Welcome to festival worship at Old South Church in Boston. We are so glad that you are here. Whether you are joining us in person or online right now or via the live stream later in the week, welcome. We are better and more whole because of your presence. Here at Old South, we believe that humanity together reflects the image of God. And that means humanity in its full diversity. And so we do our best to be a sanctuary to people of all races and abilities, genders and sexualities, sizes and ethnicities, ages and nationalities. We hope that all people of all walks of life in all stages of faith can find welcome here. We want to know that you are here. And the very easiest way for you to do that is by finding and opening up and filling out the black friendship pad that Bill is so graciously holding up for everybody, modeling excellence. If you open that up and fill it out, you can write us a joke, you can give us a way to get in touch. You will get an email from the pastors in the week to come because we are curious about you. We want to know more about who you are and how we can be the church with you. Now that we have welcomed our friends, I would love to draw your attention to three different announcements in the bulletin. The first is that Winter Walk is coming up next week. It was originally planned for February 9th, but was rescheduled due to the weather, and it is now March 22nd. If you want to walk in solidarity with our unhoused neighbors, you can sign up by following the link in the bulletin or by talking to Kat after the service. The second announcement is that our parking options are changing. We have secured new and much more affordable parking with the Back Bay Garage at 199 Clarendon Street. But that means that after this week, we will no longer be validating parking at the Prudential Center. If you parked there this morning, this is your last week to be able to get that parking validated at the front desk. If you have any questions about that, you can read more in your bulletin or you can contact Rebecca. And finally, over the past couple months, you may have heard from us that we are changing from our old church directory, Church Life, to a new church directory called Church Center. That project is moving into its next phase, which means that Church Life, the blue and yellow app on your phone that says Church Life, isn't going to work after March 24th. If you want to continue to have access to your church directory, you need to download Church Center. It's a blue and white app with a picture of a church on it before March 24th. There are instructions for how to do that in your bulletin. And if you have questions about that, you can talk to me, you can talk to Ashley, you can talk to Ava. But this is the week to make that change before access to church life goes away. Now, friends, with all of that said, let us continue in worship as our gospel choir leads us in our anthem, Trust Me by Richard Smallwood. Welcome to church, beloveds. Welcome home.
I will be with you. trust him. Oh, trust. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah,
Today's lesson comes from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Sorry. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him you shall serve. To him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. Thanks be to God.
Hi kids, it's Miss Kate. Have you ever noticed how most people love small animals? Whether we're talking about cute little birds getting fed in the nest or a pile of puppies or kittens, there's something about tiny infant animals that we just cannot get enough of. Why do you think that is? Maybe it's their big eyes that seem almost too big for their heads. Maybe it's the soft fuzz that covers them that makes you just want to touch them. Or maybe it's the sweet little sounds they make, whether it's a cheep, a growl, or a meow. I think that something in these very young creatures calls to us. It makes us want to protect them and keep them safe because they are so very vulnerable. They could so easily get hurt. Something within us tells us that we should protect them. They need to be kept warm. They need to be fed and to be sheltered. There's something in their vulnerability that makes us pay attention, that calls to us to help. The spirit of gentleness, of caring for something that is vulnerable, is one of the fruits of the Spirit from Scripture. Gentleness is one of the ways that we allow God to work through us in caring for the parts of creation that are weaker and vulnerable. There's a selflessness about gentleness. While puppies might make us happy, they don't give you what the things that this world tells us are important. They can't give you power, and they can't give you money. All the kittens can give you are a few smiles and, you know, possibly a few scratches by accident. And yet, we are drawn to them. Learn to listen to those moments, to the moments when you're drawn to something or someone that needs your gentleness. There may be no reason for you to care for them except that it feels right. they will not necessarily pay you back or even make things easy on you. But we're called to help, to tend, and to care for this world that we're in and even each other. So listen for those moments when you sense you can care, when you're drawn towards those who are vulnerable to help out and to protect them. It's a noble calling and one we can all participate in. Will you pray with me, friends? Dear God, we thank you for the wonder of your creation, that we enter life as tiny, vulnerable babies who need help in every way. May we remember that we were loved and helped gently into becoming the big people we are today. And may we gently share our strengths with those who need them. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who shares his gentle strength with all of us, even today. And we all say, Amen.
Seated.
Today's second scripture comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 through 22 reads, "So Christ came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together, spiritually, into a dwelling place for God." These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, the one who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was a stranger here once, an unmoored grad student, not sure where my next steps would lead me, but somehow, by the grace of God and by way of a text from Rachel, asking if I was still in need of a job, my feet found their way walking through the chapel doors and into community. You were a stranger here once, the two of you who came into Old South looking for a wedding venue and in turn found a church. You were searching for a place where queer love could be celebrated, even if just for a day. And instead, you found a beloved church family that would hold you through the years. You were a stranger here once. You who accidentally found Old South because you were looking for Trinity Church just down the road and didn't realize you were in the wrong service until it was too awkward and too late for you to sneak out the back doors. And so you decided to stay a while, and all of a sudden this became the right service for you. You were a stranger here once. You who moved across the country to chase a dream and a degree in Boston, you who looked at this big building for weeks, studying just across the street in the public library, finally working up the courage to one day cross the street and come inside and find that this big building felt smaller and more like home than you expected. You were a stranger once. That is what God tells the people of ancient Israel today in our scripture from Deuteronomy. You all were strangers once in the land of Egypt. Not too long ago, the Israelites, you all were migrants. For many generations, you and your ancestors have been a people without power, dependent on the fickle mercy of others, a people who knew what it was like to live in a land that was not quite your own. Do not forget that feeling. You know what it is like for isolation to shape your experience. You know what it is like to find yourself in a foreign place, in a system not designed for your thriving. In our text today, God is using Moses to tell these folks to remember. Remember what it was like to be a stranger. This isn't anything out of the ordinary for the book of Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy is in many ways a long speech of remembrance. After 40 years of wandering, the ancient Israelites are standing on the edge of a promised land, They're looking out at the future that lies before them, and for the first time in a long time, they are about to be the hosts instead of the guests. But before they step into it, Moses reminds them of where they have come from. Perhaps this is because he knows that there is something about finally arriving somewhere, about finally having stability or land or belonging that can make a people forget the stories that have shaped them. Moses seems to be keenly aware of how quickly yesterday's stranger can become today's keeper of the gate. He seems to intrinsically know how easy it is for people who once needed mercy to begin deciding who deserves it. So, before the people cross over into a land that they will finally call their own, God tells Moses, give the people this command. Love the stranger. Care for the orphan and the widow. Do justice for those who have the least protection. Do this not simply because it is morally upright or because it is good for a kinder society, but because you know what it feels like. Because once, before you had land or security or a place that felt like home, you were strangers too. Welcome them here. Because you were strangers too. And centuries later, the early church would hear that same echo again. In our second scripture this morning from the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing to a community trying to figure out how very different people belong together. Jews and Gentiles, people who had grown up inside the story of Israel and people who had come to it from the outside. And Paul tells them that in Christ, the walls that once divided people have begun to come down. The strangers and insiders are no longer separated. He puts it like this. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are all citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. No longer strangers, members of a household. Built together, Paul says, like living stones that form a dwelling place for God. Generations later, Paul is telling them something that Moses already knew, that the story of God's people has always been a story about strangers finding their way into belonging, and that all of us started as strangers. What a clever God they had, one that would appeal across generations to, if nothing else, their own deeply human, self-interested tendencies, reminding people that the line between stranger and host is more thin than they think. At one point, they were on the other side of it. What a clever God we have to remind us that if we can recall our own vulnerability honestly enough, it certainly will shape how we treat the vulnerable when we meet them. For the past several weeks here at Old South, we've been in a sermon series on finding the divine in the guise of a stranger. And we have certainly gone looking for God out there. In the process, we found Jesus on the margins, at the protest, in the very noun we, in the act of sharing, and the smiles of a child and the angsty words of Jesus as a tween. In all of those places, we found the divine there. We have spent weeks after week practicing the spiritual discipline of recognizing the sacred when it appears in unexpected places. We've learned how to see Christ in the stranger. But today, our search is shifting just a little. Because the stranger is not just out there somewhere. Sometimes the stranger walks through these doors and sits down in these pews. Sometimes the stranger is you. And strangers, find their way here all the time. One stranger made their way here not too long ago by searching through different Boston churches' one-star Google reviews. They read a review that said, quote, "The pastors had pronouns on their name tags," period. "This is a communist place," period. End quote. That's literally the whole review. And this stranger decided that being accused of being too inclusive was actually a pretty good problem for a church to have. And so within a week's time, they came through our doors a stranger no more. Another stranger made their way here because they heard this was a place that they could get a hot bowl of soup on a cold Thursday night. Another saw us hoist a banner just outside on a portico on Sunway Sunday. It said, "Heal the Earth, our sacred home." So they came inside to see if we were the type of church that made good on our promises. Another, not knowing anyone in town, asked ChatGPT where an open and affirming congregation was. And somehow, by the mystery of technology, it said here. There is certainly no shortage of ways that strangers have come to us, but what is perhaps of greatest import is that none of them have stayed strangers for long. Because that is the quiet miracle of a place like this at its best. The stranger becomes the neighbor. The person who slipped quietly into the back pews becomes the one greeting someone else at the door. And if you stay long enough, you'll begin to notice something else too. You realize that at some point, everyone here has crossed that threshold. Some of us left church for a long time, years, maybe decades, and walked back through these doors not quite sure what we would find. Some of us were born into this congregation, and yet still had to navigate the strange wilderness that is going to youth group for the first time. And some of you, perhaps some of you are doing the very brave thing of being in a church for the first time in a really long time today. However you arrived here, however long ago, the truth remains the same. You were a stranger here once. And that means that the command Moses gave the Israelites to welcome those on the margins is not some abstract ancient rule meant only for people standing on the edge of a promised land. It is one that can resonate through communities like this one, one that echoes through churches made up all of people who remember what it felt like to walk through new doors for the very first time, to wonder if anyone would notice you, to wonder if there might be a place for you here. And if Deuteronomy is right, the memory of the past is not meant to make us nostalgic, it is meant to make us hospitable. Because the line between stranger and host is also thinner than we think. At one point or another, every single one of us has stood on the other side of it, which means that every Sunday, every Thursday night, every gathering in this place, we are given the same quiet invitation that Moses gave those people long ago. Remember. Remember what it felt like to be the stranger. And then open the circle a little wider. Pull out another chair, pour another cup of coffee, make room at the table. Because somewhere out there, someone is crossing the street right now, looking at this big building and wondering if there might be space for them inside it. And if we remember who we once were, we will recognize them when they arrive. Not as strangers for very long, but as the next person who might stand here in this very church and one day start a story of belonging with the words, "I was a stranger here once, and you welcomed me in." May it be so. Amen.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Christ is our peace, our light, and our hope. Let us pray. Please be seated. God of our ancestors, God of all tomorrows, God of this present sweet moment, we gather our hearts now and present them to you. You who know our brokenness and greet us with tenderness. You who see our beauty and our failings. You who delight in each and every one of us. Your heart rejoices to see your people gather for praise, for hospitality, for prayer. Oh God, we give you thanks for all of our wanderings, for all the twists and turns on our journeys, for the path that teaches us that we will only rest in you. We give you thanks for the places and people who have reflected your hospitality, your warm welcome to us. Teachers and caregivers, waiters and Sunday school teachers, coaches and nurses, to those who walked through a door and then ushered us into a place that we would learn to call home. Oh God, we give you thanks. Help us to open wide the doors of our church and the doors of our hearts to all who seek sanctuary in the shadow of your wings. Prepare our hearts. Prepare our church to be changed by each new member, each visitor, who brings with them stories and scars, wisdom and worries, histories and hopes. Oh God, we pray that your transformative spirit would blow through this church and this whole world, reminding us that we were all once strangers. Where division separates, oh God, bring your spirit of compassion. Where war kills, bring your spirit of peace. Where evil seems to hold power, bring your undefeatable love to reign for all time. We need you, oh God. We need you in this world. We need you in this church. We need you in our hearts. Spirit of the living God, you promise to join our prayers with sighs that are deeper than words. So we lift to you now our own prayers for the world, for our country, our communities, our families, and even our own selves. Join with us now, O Spirit, in the sacred shelter of silence. God, we trust that you are with us. Shape our hearts now to be more like the heart of Christ as we pray the prayer he gave us. To God, our great mother, our holy parent, our loving creator, as we say together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, Old South. In the spirit of radical hospitality, we move forward in transformation, transforming our world, our earth, and our church. With that in mind, our weekly pushback recipient is One Great Hour of Sharing. One Great Hour of Sharing is one of our four special mission offerings offered by the United Church of Christ. This week, churches across the denomination are joining together to pool our resources in support of this shared effort. The Lenten offering supports partners from around the world through ministries that fund health, education, and agricultural development, as well as emergencies. As we move forward, let us remember the words of the Apostle Paul, who said to the church at Galatia, "Be not weary in well-doing, but we will reap if we do not give up." Why don't you look at someone and say, "Don't give up." don't give up. The offering will now be received. Won't you pray with me? Oh, our God, our Ebenezer, our cornerstone, our rock in a weary land, we ask you to bless these gifts and the giver for those who give their time, their talents, their resources to make better this home we call earth. We ask you to bless and continue to prosper. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.
In your midst. Seat neighbors just one pew over for you to learn the names of. But before you do that, allow me to leave you with one final blessing. May you love the stranger, care for the orphan and the widow, do justice for those who have the least protection. And may you remember that wherever you journey, the God of accompaniment, the God of radical welcome, is right by your side. Go in peace. Amen.